Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Stay Out of My Crease. This is episode 3, and today is Wednesday, November 16th. We thank you for listening, and don't forget you can call in and join the discussion. Our telephone number is 646-668-8467, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Stay Out of Crease or Facebook Stay Out of My Crease. Today's show is kind of a fan-friendly show, and so we're going to be talking the latest news in college hockey because that has been one of our biggest feedbacks. They absolutely love that segment. We'll also be talking about some NHL stuff going on, and we'll have our This Day in Hockey segment and our special mailbag. We have some really great questions for tonight. So I'd like to welcome in my co-host, Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Hey, Kim. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, I'm not doing good. My pens are down. So.
Yeah, well, you're kind of getting shellacked there by the Capitals, but that happens. You know, you're at Washington.
It does.
So.
It's early.
So before
it's
we get rolling too much, I want to give a shout out to my sister, who her birthday is tomorrow, and I'm not going to give her age because I love her, but her birthday is definitely tomorrow.
Well, happy birthday to your sister. So we had a big game this weekend, or this actually last week. It was Thursday night. Your team played my team. We had a lot of fun with that one.
Yes, we did. And it kind of sets the tone for the way the Penguins are playing. You know, I mean, if you can rough them up, they're not going to play very well.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what the Wild did.
We'll actually get into that in our mailbag segment because we have a really great question about the Penguins from a Penguin fan. So I guess we'll go into our what happened this day in hockey history. So in 1926, Hal Winkler became the first goaltender in NHL history to record a shutout.
Really?
Yes. It was
That's pretty impressive. I mean, did they call him the Fonz like Henry Winkler, or was he just Hal Winkler?
You know, that I don't know. Okay. But it was actually his first career game as a New York Ranger.
Wow. Well, and didn't they score their first goal that game, too? So that had to be pretty cool. Yeah.
Yep. And I believe it was Bill Cook who scored that. That was the Rangers captain. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't alive then.
So in 1950, back to the Rangers, they traded Dunk Fisher to the Bruins in exchange for Ed Harrison. And that was probably before your time, too.
That was before my time, too.
Yep. In 1993, the Hockey Hall of Fame inducted its newest members. That was Billy Smith, Steve Shutt, Guy LaPointe, and Edgar LaPrade.
Okay. Well, it's Guy LaPointe, but we don't need to correct you. Billy Smith,
yes,
Billy Smith to me is very intriguing because we have the expansion draft coming up, and Billy Smith was actually drafted by the Los Angeles Kings and played in their farm system and then came up. And when the Islanders got the expansion draft, he was the second person that they picked. And, you know, with the Vegas team coming up with the expansion draft, you know, I think that's pretty relevant right now. And he went on to win 4 Stanley Cups with the Islanders. And he's credited with the very first goaltender to ever score a goal.
Oh, wow. Now, see, I did not know that. And, you know, we just inducted the Hockey Hall of Fame just had their induction ceremony on, Monday night this week?
Right.
So that's pretty cool. And I think Eric Lindros went in this year. What a player for the Flyers.
Oh, it's about time. You know, he came in for Quebec and played for Colorado, but played most of his career in Philadelphia, and that was a big deal.
Right. You know, yeah, it definitely was.
Just his pure size and, speed and the way he, I mean, his hands were amazing, you know, to be able to put all those skill sets together. You know, the only knock on him is he never won a cup, so.
Yep. And then in 2003, the Calgary Flames traded their second round draft pick. And do you know who they traded him to?
I think the Sharks, right?
Correct. And you know who they got? They got Kaprizov.
Okay.
And he went on to actually lead the NHL in, he actually went on, you know, to be a really good goaltender.
Well, he led the league in goals against, didn't he, in that
yeah,
year?
That's what I was thinking of. I believe it was 1.69.
Right. Well, and didn't they make it to the finals that year? Calgary make it to the finals that year?
I believe they did. And I think they lost to the Lightning.
Right. Oh, God. Lightning just took a heck of a hit this week with...
With Stamkos?
Yeah, getting hurt. They don't know how long he's going to be out either. So, I mean, it could be... You know, I mean, usually it's, you know, 2 to 4 weeks for that kind of injury, but they're, you know, they're talking maybe months now for him. So,
yeah, because that's a knee injury.
Yeah, it is meniscus tear, but it's not the simple one like Clark got from New Jersey. And Clark will be back in like two, three, maybe 4 weeks or whatever. Probably two because he's a hockey player, but the one for Stamkos is a lot more entailed, and they had to do a lot more in there, so they're not really sure how long his recovery time is going to be. And I mean, without him in the line, I mean, they played without him last year. I mean, they took the, you know, they were up 3-2 against the Penguins in the conference finals, but without him, but you know, with him, they're a whole different team.
Oh yeah, and he missed a majority of the playoffs last year with that, was it a blood clot?
Right.
He had some blood clot issues, and he missed the majority of the playoffs. I know Lightning fans were very excited when he came back. I believe it was game 6 or 7 against the Pens. Might have played, I think it was game 7.
Yeah, it wasn't enough, though. I mean, I don't know. I think that if he had played the whole series, if he'd been able to play throughout the playoffs, that you know, Tampa Bay would have been in the Stanley Cup instead of Pittsburgh. And that's just my opinion, but you know, you can't lose the dynamic. It's like Pittsburgh losing Crosby. You know, you don't think that they're going to do that well without, you know, your star player.
Oh yeah. I mean, you tread water. That's all you can do. You can tread water, but when you miss that superstar, that's a huge, huge hit to your team. And it not only hits your team's performance on the ice, it hits them in the locker room. It's just, you know, it hits the team everywhere.
Well, it's a big morale drain when, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, he had to leave. I mean, they were on the road and he had to leave and he had to go back to Tampa Bay to do the surgery. I don't know if it was in Tampa or St. Pete, but he had to go back there to get the surgery done, you know, in the analysis and trying to figure out what they were actually going to do with him. So, you know, when you lose that, when that guy is no longer in your locker room and you bring up some kid from the minors to replace him, it's just not the same thing.
It isn't. Unless they're a Connor McDavid type player, but that rarely happens.
That doesn't happen very often. No.
Exactly. So we did have some great questions this week, and so we'll go ahead and jump into our mailbag session. But anytime you want to send us a question, you can send it to our email at stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com, or you can tweet us, or you can Facebook us. So the first question is actually for you, Jimmy. It's from Joe, and he said, Jimmy, I love your knowledge, and even as a seasoned hockey fan, I've learned so much from your two shows. My question is, do you think hockey has become too tame?
Well, thanks for the question, Joe. All the sports have gotten a little more tame. I mean, you have to protect your players, and especially when you're paying the kind of salaries that you're paying. You know, I mean, that's why the safety equipment is on board. And so from a tame aspect, well, I don't know. I mean, you don't, you still see the fights, but you don't see as many of them as you used to. You see more, more control, more, you, what you see is a lot more, you know, a lot more teams just finishing the checks because they can do that within the current system. So, the NFL or the NHL, general managers met, yesterday to, in their November meeting. And, one of the things they discussed was the November 5th game between the Canucks and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, that game was epic fight-wise, too. That was probably
right.
One of the best games I've watched in a long time.
Well, they have, for the Canucks, Daniel Sedin was shooting the puck in the left circle. And for them, I mean, for the Leafs, Kadri came in and came up from behind to his right and kind of blindsided him, and Sedin's helmet popped off and his head hit the ice. You know, Kadri received a major for it and game misconduct, and they looked at the film back in Toronto and they decided that, you know, it wasn't a serious blow to the head, but the general managers are kind of looking at that going, you know, I mean, you lose a player like that, and, you know, you can lose your season. You know, I mean, it's, you know, if that happens to a Crosby or a Malkin or a Ovechkin, or, you know, you can lose a good portion of your season because you lost one of your best players. So
right.
Yeah, maybe they're a little more tame now than they used to be, but they're also being more realistic as far as, you know, keeping track and controlling their play, you know, controlling the play on the ice, and making sure that the players play the next game.
Right, yeah, player safety has definitely been at the forefront of every sport lately, and, I mean, it's not a bad thing. I enjoy the fights. What was the old saying? I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. So, you know, when you're an old-school fan, you kind of get used to seeing all the fights and things like that. But this one intrigued me because the goalies got involved. And I got to thinking when you were talking about player injury, you know, if your goalies get involved and, say, for example, you lose a Carey Price caliber goalie, then you really are done for the season.
Oh, right. And it comes from the blindside hits. It comes from the cheap shots. And, you know, and then everybody goes to protect everybody else. I mean, you look at the game tonight between Pittsburgh and Washington. And, you know, they ran the goaltender. They ran Murray. So Malkin came in and decided he needed to protect Murray. Well, Murray doesn't have a chin strap, so his mask came off. And then Malkin accidentally hit him with a stick, and Murray's out of the game. So
right. But when you have Marc-Andre Fleury backing you up, it's not necessarily a bad thing unless you're already down two goals.
Right. Well, Fleury should be starting on that team, but that's a whole other story. But
yeah, we can get into that in a different segment.
Correct.
So Tay asked, will the Capitals choke again in this year's playoffs? The Capitals are an interesting team. If you listened to our show last week with Mark Kelly, he gave us some great pointers on why the Capitals have so many struggles in the playoffs. A lot of it comes from their history. And, you know, they've only been to the Stanley Cup final once, and it was not very good. So they always seem to choke in the second round. I believe if the Capitals can, like, they look really good tonight, but they're playing a division rival and a team that they hate. So it's really early in the season to say that the Capitals even make the playoffs. I mean, anything can happen. This is hockey. So, but if they do make the playoffs, I don't know. They still seem to have the same core players, and there are hotter teams than them right now and coming out of the Eastern Conference, which Jimmy and I will get into later in the show. What's your take on this, Jimmy?
Well, you know, I it all goes down to Ovechkin. And if you look at the World Cup, Ovechkin played differently than Ovechkin normally plays. Normally he plays with this regular season selfish attitude that I'm going to score goals. And, you know, I want the spotlight on me and all that. But in the World Cup, he didn't do that. He actually had more hits than he had goals. So the Washington team seems to be, you know, I mean, like you said, small sample size, but they seem to be playing more of a physical kind of approach than they have in the past. They're not, you know, kind of sitting back and just firing. They're they're hitting people. They're, you know, they're finishing their checks. I mean, that's how they're beating Pittsburgh tonight, you know, and they have a really big team, especially for an Eastern Conference team. And that being said, I don't think anybody beats the Rangers this year. I think the Rangers come out of the East. You know,
we're going to get into the Rangers because this is an interesting team this year.
I mean, it's really difficult for a team to repeat. So I don't put Pittsburgh on that, and especially with the World Cup and, you know, half their team playing on that. Whereas you look at the Rangers, and they're not just winning. You know, I mean, at this time of year, you don't look, you know, when necessarily at wins and losses. You look at, you know, the caliber of play and the way they win and the way they lose. And when New York is winning, they're winning by several goals. And when they're losing, they're only losing by one. So
because they're a plus 34 right now?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, 17 games in, they're a plus 34. That's two per game. You know, and they have a couple losses in there. So, you know, at this point in the season, which is really early, you know, I would say that, you know, the reason the Capitals wouldn't make the postseason or wouldn't make the Cup Finals would be because of the Rangers. And, you know, especially now with Tampa Bay, you know, losing Stamkos, I mean, that's the other team you got to worry about. So,
And I mean,
but you never know. You never know. I mean, a lot of time it all comes down to, you know, which goaltender is playing better at the time, because that's what happens a lot in the playoffs. Is you get a good goaltender that's riding high, and it doesn't really matter what your skill players are doing. So
you're exactly right. And another team that we'll get into later in our NHL segment is the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're one that you're going to really have to keep an eye on in the East, too.
Well, and Columbus has been playing really well, and they're in Ohio. So it's, you know, you got the Indians who made it to the World Series. You got the Cavaliers that won, won the NBA championship. And then you've got the Browns who are, you know, chasing down history at 0-16 maybe. So Columbus isn't in the 0-16 category. So, you know, there's a pretty good chance that they will be there. And, you know, and Ohio State's now number two in the NCAA football rankings. So, I mean, it's been a pretty good year for Ohio sports. So I would think that maybe Columbus could, you know, live off of that.
Yeah, exactly. So our next question comes from Michelle, and she writes, Kim was unable to finish last week due to time, but as a female fan and a Penguin fan, I'm interested in hearing her prediction for the rest of the season. Well, you're asking me on the wrong night here, Michelle. I'm watching my Pens get beat down 6-0. But no, in all seriousness, like Jimmy had touched on, the Penguins probably will not repeat. It is very difficult to do. It's only been done 18 times in the National Hockey League's history, and that's a pretty deep history there. I do see them making the playoffs, but not moving very far into the playoffs because of teams like – it seems like Pittsburgh always plays the Rangers in the first round. If that happens this year, we're done in the first round. The Rangers are just a very – deep, dangerous team. They actually took a page out of the Penguins' book. They got faster, they got depth, and, you know, they have Lundqvist. I mean, that's all they really need in goal there. But back to your question, the reason why I say they won't go far is, just like Jimmy had touched on, when we played the Wild and when we're playing the Caps tonight, the thing that they did, and they did early, was get in our heads, and They checked us. They were very physical. And the Penguins have trouble with physical teams because they are smaller. They have smaller and more finesse players, unlike a lot of, like, the Western Conference teams. They have, you know, bigger physical guys that are going to check you into the board or floor check you. And so, you know, you look at your players like Kessel and Crosby, Sheary and Rust. They're all very small players. The only player on the team that does well in physical games is Malkin because he is bigger and he is more physical. I am still a firm believer that he was a big part of why we were able to handle the Sharks in six games. The big question will be to see if the Penguins can adjust to playing a different style to kind of offset that whole physicality. Last year they were able to beat teams with speed. A lot of teams have picked up on that. Murray is another key. I don't know if you guys listened to the game tonight or watched it or anything. Murray has only played 18 games. 18 games in the NHL is not a lot of games to confirm that he should be a number one goalie. I am a big Fleury fan, and I get a lot of hate for that, but Fleury's been there. Fleury's a veteran. If it wasn't for Fleury last year, we wouldn't even made the playoffs. So you can't discount him. Murray is an unknown still, and teams are figuring out how to beat him. If you shoot high glove side or high stick side on him, you're gonna score goals because he goes down way too fast. But you know, if when he goes down, if they do a backhand shot or a rebound shot, the defense is small, not as physical again, and so they're not able to step up to that kind of pressure. And usually when, like in the Caps game, for example, the first goal of the game was a rebound shot because Murray just did not get up very quickly. So that's my take. Do you have anything else to add to that, Jimmy?
Well, I think Murray needs a pillow on the ice because he likes to sleep on it. You know, that's kind of what I've noticed. But, you know, Pittsburgh's still going to be relevant. I mean, they're in the East, so, you know, if you lace them up, a lot of times you're just going to make it anyways. But I don't see, at this point in the season, I don't see anybody going anywhere near the Rangers. And I just think that that's clearly the better team, even though Montreal has, you know, and then you got to deal with Montreal too, I guess. So, you know, I mean, that would be your conference final. That would be your conference final team, so... If you could somehow get by the Rangers, you're going to have to get by Montreal, and I just don't see that happening. You know,
right?
I mean,
unless
I know you like your I know you like your Penguins, but it's
thank you. But I'm
not,
also a realistic.
I don't think it's very realistic for them this year.
No, I mean they had a great season last year, and I was actually talking to a Leaf fan, and I said I can't really be mad because of the fact that you know anything can happen in the National Hockey League, but realistically, it's only been done 18 times, and most of those were by Montreal.
or Edmonton when they had Gretzky.
Or Edmonton,
twice,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. And the Red Wings were the most recent team to do it, and that was 20 years ago. So.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's when, yep. when they were loaded up with the Red Army, too. So, I mean, they had a really good team in Detroit then, so.
Exactly. Okay, so our next question comes from Jarrett, and he wants to know, should the NHL go ahead and let the players play in the upcoming Winter Olympics? This has been a huge hot topic.
Well, it is, because the NHL is trying to control the way the players run. So, you know, for the last five Olympics, the NHL players have been allowed to play in the Olympics. Which, you know, you get the best players playing in the, you know, on the biggest stage. That's what you want, right?
Right,
well,
exactly.
Well, the NHL has decided now that, you know, unless the players' union agrees to extend the collective bargaining agreement, they're not going to let their players play. You know, and to
right.
me, that's just, I mean, that's just greed. You know, the IIHF, the International Ice Hockey Federation, has already agreed to pay for all the people to fly over there to Korea to play. And to me, it just seems like, you know, how much more greed can you have as an owner? You know, and now that they've got this, the World Cup that the NHL sponsors, You know, are they just not letting the players play in the Olympics because they want to build
make
up their
money.
World Cup thing? Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, yeah, because the World Cup, the NHL is actually sponsoring that now. So all that money goes back to the NHL as opposed to where this would be for patriotic reasons. Interesting enough, you were talking about Ovechkin earlier. He's decided he's going anyway, regardless of whether the NHL comes to an agreement or a decision with the Winter Olympics. So that's interesting to know.
Well, and it's not till 2018, but they have to make a decision on the NHL portion of it by January. But I would not be surprised if the majority of the NHL superstars, so to speak, I mean, like, I can't imagine Sidney Crosby sitting back watching his Canadian team lose. You know,
right.
You know, they play the game, you know, in the NHL for money, but they were, you know, they were kind of raised on playing it for hometown and country, and, you know, not being able to play for country is going to be a huge thing. And I just think that most of the NHL players are going to jump ship anyways and go play and then, you know, suffer the fines. I mean, they make enough money. They can suffer the fines, whatever the NHL decides they want to lay out on them. But
right.
I just think the whole issue is just all about greed. And, you know, this is one of those times where you really have to side with the players.
Right. Yeah, because I think the NHL right now, from what I've recently heard, I think the NHL is really deflecting, and they're really trying to put this decision on the players with this 3-year extension they proposed. It doesn't seem very fair to put the players in that kind of position. You know, you're thinking these players want to play for their country. They enjoyed playing for their countries in the World Cup. I know they did because I've heard the player interviews. You know, I watched the games. But, you know, to put them in that position where they have to choose – basically their livelihood over their love for their country, that's just it's a terrible spot for the NHL to put these players in.
This is the league that canceled the season because the owners couldn't get over their greed, you know,
right.
And I don't know, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, they've done it for the last 5 Olympics. So, I mean, why can't they do it again? You know,
right. It's always fun to watch it.
So. Oh, it is. And it's fun, you know, because I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if they do let them all play. I wouldn't be surprised if they let if the Finns win. I mean, the Finn team has been, you know, the players coming from Finland right now are just phenomenal. And I think they can give Canada a run for their money.
Yeah. Somebody needs to.
Right.
Because nobody did in the World Cup, that's for sure.
Right, yeah, the U.S. stumped that one up.
Yeah. But our final question comes from Wayne. And this one's specifically for you. He said, Jimmy, thank you for being... He said, thank you for being a Western Conference fan. We get no love from the mainstream media. I am curious to think who will be your top 8 teams coming out of the West.
Well, I don't know about the East Coast bias, if it works as much. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that are in smaller towns in the Western Conference than there is in the Eastern Conference. You know, I mean, you've got your Calgary's, you've got your Edmonton's, Winnipeg's, Vancouver's. You know, you've got teams that don't traditionally get coverage. So I can kind of see that, but coming out of the West, I mean, Chicago, duh. You know, I don't see anybody else, you know, competing with them at this point. And then probably San Jose out of the Pacific, because if I don't say that, my cousin Christine, who lives out at all the Sharks game in the Shark Tanks, is going to yell at me. But you look at right now at the standings, you got Winnipeg in second in the Central, and you got Edmonton in second in the Pacific. And those are two extremely young teams. You know, you've got McDavid for Edmonton, who's leading the league in points as a rookie, and then you got Lane as a rookie for Winnipeg, who's leading the league in goals. You know, I mean, are they going to be able to keep this up for the whole season? I mean, because they're not used to playing 82 games. You know, I mean, they were in juniors, and you know, they played like 30 or 35 games. So playing an 82 in the long grind of the NHL season. So I don't know that this is the year for Winnipeg and Edmonton, but I kind of like the way that they look, you know, in moving forward. You know, Winnipeg plays five rookies on their team, you know, and that's just unheard of. But, you know, and then you look at the rest of the teams in the West. You look at St. Louis. Well, they traded Elliott, and, you know, the backup goaltender now for St. Louis is like 2-3 or something like that, 2-4 or whatever, and he's not very good. And they decided they didn't need Elliott, and obviously they did, because they're.
Yeah.
I mean, even though they're still in, they're still in the top three, they're not playing the same kind of hockey they did last year.
Oh no, they're not as dominant as they started out and finished last year. Because I know,
well,
talking the two of us, that you were a firm believer that the Blues were going to be Stanley Cup champions last year just because of the way they played.
Well, they had two quality goaltenders and they had a lot of good players. But, you know, I mean, injury here, injury there, and, you know, then you're gone. But right now, you know, St. Louis isn't on the same track that they were last year, simply because they don't have somebody to spell Keith, you know, or the Keith actually was spelling Elliott last year. So,
right.
And then you look at, okay, a team like Dallas. Well, Dallas has got five overtime wins, which is clear, far and away the most in the West. That's how they get their points. They get their points 3-on-3. So, yeah, they probably might make it, but I don't see it because they don't seem to win in the regular part of the game, you know. And then you look at a team like the Wild, you know, the Wild have been, you know, beat up and busted. I mean, they've had more injuries than most teams should have to have. They got Haula back and they got Parise back, which is, you know, two of their first line forwards. They still got Scandella out, which is, you know, I think it's like two or three on their defenseman chart. So, you know, when they start getting players back, that, you know, they'll do better. But they're still in the hunt. They're in the wild card hunt right now. But they're a plus 12. I mean, that's the best in the West, you know, as far as goal differential. So, you know, I mean, they're a team to contend with, but I wouldn't sleep on Los Angeles. I think that they have, when they get Quick back and he start playing on a normal basis, I think that they're going to be the team to beat out of the Pacific. You know, no offense to San Jose or Edmonton or the Anaheimers, but I really think that Los Angeles is going to be the team to beat out of there.
Right. I have a friend that's a Kings fan, and he was very upset last year when the Kings got knocked out of the playoffs. So, and then he was devastated when Quick went out for the 3 months. He should be coming back around the December timeframe, I believe, the end of December, early January. So that's just when it gets in the heat of things. So.
Right, and they're managing to hold their own now, you know, during the time that he's out. I don't even know who the goaltender is now that they're playing, because they've gone through a couple. They're,
yeah, Zakov,
I mean,
has been the one that they've been playing the most.
Zakov?
Yes.
Now, he's the one that used to play for Pittsburgh, right? Didn't he play in a couple playoff games against the Rangers?
Yeah, he did. He actually started the playoffs, and then Murray came in to take his spot. So.
Okay.
Yep.
It's interesting, you know, and you never know, you know, like I said, with Edmonton and Winnipeg, you know, the young kids playing there, they, you know, maybe they don't wear out. Maybe there is no, you know, postseason, you know, end of the season grind for them. Maybe, you know, maybe they play well. I mean, Connor McDavid is, you know, clearly, you know, an elite player, and, you know, so that
he's
gives
Edmonton
a chance. Yeah. That gives them a chance. So.
And this is definitely, I mean, both Michelle and Wayne's questions, these are definitely questions that we can revisit, you know, in the end of December, early January, when, you know, hockey gets into that full swing, you're going to start seeing those front runners come up and, you know, teams get into their groove. So definitely could, you know, revisit these questions for sure.
Well, and right now, you know, you got, there's 17, 18 games played for a lot of the players, a lot of the teams, but some have only played 15 or 14 games. And that's a big difference in the standings and the way things shape out. So, you know, it's not as much where you are at in the standings at this time of the year. It's more, how is your team playing on the ice? And,
right.
You know, are you winning games or are you surviving games? And,
right.
You know, and that's where a team like Chicago, I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I respect Chicago, and I don't see anybody else coming out of the West but Chicago.
Maybe.
You know, at this point, looking at things, you know, I see a Chicago New York Rangers Cup.
Stanley
but
Cup.
We have a lot of hockey left to play.
We have a long way to go. But doesn't Chicago end up winning it every other year or so that it seems?
It seems that way, yeah. Which is frustrating for those of us in the West. And if Chicago doesn't go, usually it's Los Angeles. And you know, the fact that San Jose was able to squeak their way through last year was pretty impressive. You know, I mean, they ended up losing to Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, that was probably the fifth or sixth best team out of the West that went, and you know, probably the second or third best team on the East that went. So. You never know in college, in the NHL, as to what team is actually going to get there, because it all runs on, you know, how good is your goaltender, you know?
Right. Exactly. Well, we thank everybody for their questions. Please keep them coming. We really enjoy answering them on air for you. Again, you can tweet those at Stay Out of Crease. Or you can email those to stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com. Or you can even send us a message on Facebook, and that's Stay Out of My Crease. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk some more NHL for just a little bit. And then we're going to get into a pretty heavy college segment, because that was really cut short last week. So we'll take this quick commercial break, and we'll take callers as well. So you can give us a call, 646-668-8467.
Detroit Rock City Promotions, everything you need for your party, wedding, show, or event. DJ services, tent setup, table and chairs, mobile stages, sound and lighting, photography, on-staff reverend. Book DRCP Army today at 810-627-9773. That number again is 810-627-9773. Or find us on the web at DetroitRockCityPromotions.com.
All right, guys, we are back. So getting into the NHL here, we're going to talk about the players of the month for October. They were Connor McDavid, Shea Weber, and Jonathan Marchessault from the Panthers. And I hope I said that right. I'm so sorry if I didn't. Connor McDavid, he went 5-7-12 in 9 games to power the Oilers to the top of the Pacific Division and Western Conference. He also registered 1 point in 6 of 9 appearances, including 4 multi-point performances. And that's a rookie, so, I mean, that's a pretty good deal there. Shea Weber from the Canadiens, he led all defensemen with a 4-6-10 in 9 games to guide the Habs to their first place in the league standings. The Canadiens are an interesting team, too. Price actually just lost his first game last night, so he was actually 10-0 in goal, which was, you know, it was an amazing feat. Let's see, from the Panthers, Jonathan Marchessault shares the league with 6 goals and tied third overall with 11 points in 9 games. And remember, these are the October stats. This is why they got the players of the month. He scored at least 1 point in 7 of 9 games, and his first career 3-point performance was October 15th. And it's amazing to me that that was his first. He scored that against Detroit in the first career multi-goal effort October 27th in Toronto in 2 game-winning goals. So that was your players of the month, and we'll do this, you know, around this time for November as well. So Jimmy and I had actually started talking about the Rangers, and the Rangers have become the team to watch in the East. So
they're one of the few teams I think that can actually come out of the East and beat Chicago. Because, you know, until Chicago gets older, they're going to be a contender every year.
Right. Yeah, because they're still a fairly young team.
Right. And they just seem to make that one trade at the trade deadline that sets them off so that they can get another run, deep run into the playoffs. They didn't do it last
right.
year. They kind of got, you know, hung up by St. Louis, but, you know, it was, and I thought St. Louis was the team to beat last year, but this year it's hard to say. I mean, Chicago's kind of on a tear, but it's early in the year, and you never know who's going to get hurt or not get hurt, but so.
Right. Yeah, and the interesting thing about the Rangers is they didn't make very many moves in the offseason. I mean, they got, who was it, Jimmy Vesey, Michael Grabner.
Okay.
And, you know, their thing is that they've really, you know, enhanced their depth lines, like their lines. Their lines are deep. So they really did kind of carbon copy what the Pens did last year, you know, with picking up Kessel and adding, you know, bringing the guys up from the baby Pens in Wilkes-Barre. And so, you know, they've gotten faster. They've gotten the depth on their lines. All 4 lines are very dangerous. And they're... different players are scoring. It's not the same player scoring every night. So, you know, they're sharing the love between all 4 lines. And I know the line thing is mostly an East Coast thing, like an Eastern Conference thing. I don't think the Western Conference does that as often. I think
there are lines, but they don't necessarily have numbers on them. You know, you have people you play with, but most of the time the coach is messing up the lines the whole time anyway. So it doesn't,
right.
It's not as hard and fast as it is out in the East.
Yeah. And, I mean, like you said earlier, their differential is a plus 34. They won last night. They beat Vancouver 7-0.
Right.
Now, it should be interesting because the 18th, which is what? Today is the 16th, so Friday night, they actually play the Blue Jackets. And the Blue Jackets have been... if the Blue Jackets can get consistent, I think they could be very dangerous too.
Well,
they're
the Blue
kind
Jackets
of middle of the
They just beat Washington last night, didn't they?
Yeah, they blew them out last night. No, they didn't blow them out. I'm just teasing. I wish they would have. But anyway, no, just kidding. No, the Blue Jackets, they beat Washington 2-1. So.
Right. I mean, so they're. I mean, they're right there, you know, the Blue Jackets are. And I think that's a team that, you know, people kind of overlook. You know, I don't know that they've ever won a playoff game. They came in the same time that Wild did. And the Wild have had a little more success, but neither team has actually, you know, gone. I mean, the Wild went once to the Western Conference Finals, but, you know, the Blue Jackets, I think it's about time for them. You know, and
right.
Maybe get some of that Ohio luck.
Definitely. You know, we actually have a caller on the line, so I think we're going to take this call, the last 4-6-2-9-4. Hi, you're on air with Jimmy and Kim. How are you?
How do you do?
Good. Who are we talking to?
You're talking to Lou from Northeast New Jersey in the United States.
Well, hi Lou. Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in.
I've heard of you.
Hey.
I've heard of you people. I've heard of you guys. I thought I'd give it a shot since I've been a long
hey,
time
Lou.
Admirer of the game.
Hey Lou. So, being from New Jersey, are you a Devils fan?
Actually, I'm a Ranger fan.
Oh, see, we were just talking up your team.
I know.
What a great time to bring you on.
Thanks. I mean, Bessie's really just showing his stuff for a rookie.
Yeah.
I've been watching her very closely.
Good.
So,
So
being a Rangers fan, what do you think of the role that they're on? I mean, they're playing extremely well.
Yes, but I also remember last year, or just prior to the before, they had a 10-1 start in October, and then they started to look very shabby. So, it's like I say on other shows too, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. I mean, that's what they can keep the momentum going. You know, because, you know, sometimes when you start off to a hot start, you burn out by, you know, mid-season, and then you start to feel like you've lost a step.
Well, that happens a lot, but you know, like I said, you know, I was telling Timmy earlier, it's like it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And
correct. Same in all sports.
You're gonna have your times when you're playing well and times when you're not playing well. It's just the manner that the Rangers seem to be playing right now seems to be at a different level than most of the other teams in the NHL.
Yes, and I am, you know, pleased that they are doing this well at this point in the season. But the last time they did, I mean, it looked like they were going to be a sure win for the finals, and they lost in the conference finals.
Right.
Yeah, I mean the same thing last year with Washington, because you know Washington was on a roll. They had one of the best regular season records in recent memory. And they bombed out in the second round, and they labeled their season as a failure.
Right.
I'm like, wait, a failure? I don't know if I'd be so quick to say that. Okay, they didn't win the Stanley Cup, but guess what? 28 other teams didn't win a cup either. Would you say they're a failure? No.
Well, and look at all the teams that didn't even make the playoffs or didn't win as many games as they did. You know, so it's. You don't necessarily deem it a failure, but, you know, in Washington, for Washington, it's just like you need to get over the hump at some point. You know, when you play that well and at that level, you get over that point, you know, over that hump, you know, it's like, but, Rangers,
I would
are intriguing. They're my pick to come out of the East so far, based on what I've seen. But, you know, like you said, you know, we're only 20 games, you know, 16, 17 games into this. So there's a lot of time left.
Yeah.
Right. I think
and
what intrigues me the most.
And you never know with injuries either, you know. You could get
exactly. Because that's what can hurt you because that is one of the most important elements, especially in the playoffs. Because when Zuccarello got hurt in the playoffs, 2 years ago, that was it. That was the difference there that knocked him out. If Zuccarello wasn't hurt in that game, I think it was game five, who knows? The Rangers might have went all the way to the cup and maybe even would have won it.
Right.
You know,
you're exactly
right
here.
Especially your key players.
I think, you know, to me, what's more intriguing is their hot start. I mean, like, you know, you guys have said, this is a marathon, this isn't a sprint. But they have had the best start of their franchise history. And, you know, that's amazing that they, you know. And, like, you know, they're not, the differential is just out of this world this early in the season. You guys are actually blowing people out. Yeah. Like last night, you guys won.
Yeah.
7-2.
Yeah, but the game was a little bit late for me, so I wasn't able to see that game, and I was also catching the Duke-Kansas game. But I'll save that for another time.
Yeah, definitely.
I follow, you know, all the majors, really, you know, all the major sports.
Yeah, I was surprised that Kansas won that game against Duke, but
so
Duke didn't have the three freshman phenoms, so I mean that's a whole nother deal. But
that can be another factor too.
But that's college basketball.
you follow that.
I am happy with any time Duke loses because I'm a Tar Heel fan, so.
Gee, that sounds like someone else I know that was I was speaking to earlier this evening.
and is
related to this network.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Actually, nice. I was brought here because I heard about this show through another show I do on this network.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Which show is that?
Are you familiar with a young lady named Brenda Facemeyer?
No, I can't say that I am.
Dang.
No.
Well, it was mentioned through your show, and something came up on, I think it was on her page, and I heard about this show through that. So I thought, well, I'm a hockey guy. Well, I'm a sports guy, period. But I'm a hockey guy. It happened since the late 70s when I was a youth. I thought, why not give this show a try? I'm on countless shows with this network, actually.
Wonderful. Well,
yeah.
I hope you're enjoying our show.
So, one more question for you.
Of course.
So do you think that the Rangers are going to be riding Lundqvist, and that's pretty much where they're going to end up?
You mean
because they seem to have a fairly decent balanced lines,
yes.
But they don't seem to have that one guy, that Crosby, that Ovechkin, that can compete for, you know, with the high scoring output. That, you know, they seem to rely more on defense than in goaltending. I mean, they're scoring a lot of goals, but it's more that they're not giving up any.
Yeah, well, that's what else is going to think if they give up any goals. So, you know, if they keep that out there, they shouldn't have any problem.
Yeah, they'll definitely be a team that I'll be keeping an eye on, especially
being
a
writer. Well, I know I will. I've been following them for 30 years.
Wow.
I mean, the proudest moment, of course, was the 94 season. That night, June 14, 94. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
well, Lou,
the garden. Okay, I get it. You got to go.
No, I was going to say, you could go ahead. I was going to thank
okay.
you. I thought you were done.
I thought you were in a hurry to get off.
No, you're fine.
I'm sorry.
No,
so
go
anyway,
ahead.
June 14th, 1994. I mean, Game 7. I'm like, I'm not missing this game for the world. I mean, this was a moment I have waited for. I mean, this is one of those times you remember where you were, the exact date, back down to the exact second. My parents had friends over that night in the backyard. It was a hot night. It was a hot late spring, early summer night. And they were actually in the game watching it with me, and they don't even like hockey that much. But they knew I was getting into this, and like we were all watching the game together and counting down the third period, even when Vancouver came within one, I'm like, hold your breath, folks, it's gonna be a bumpy ride to the finish. And you could not believe how my heart was pounding for the next 14 and a half minutes for that period to be over. And like we thought it was over 1.6 seconds to go, but then icing was called, like, don't you dare. Don't you dare do this to me. Don't you dare. I'm like, oh, boy. I'm like, this is it. And as it goes wide left, when the game was over, I mean, Sam Rosen was absolutely berserk, and so was every fan in Madison Square Garden. Even we were all berserk when it was over. It's all over. It's done. A miracle has happened. Oh, boy.
It's such a great feeling, isn't it?
Like, ugh. Unreal.
So being from the New York, New Jersey area,
correct.
How do you feel about the fact that the Islanders are no longer the Islanders and they're the Brooklyn, whatever they are?
They can go.
I mean,
they can
Brooklyn
go.
Islanders, but there's I don't think there's an island in Brooklyn.
No, there isn't. But I guess they don't want to change the name. They want to be loyal to their fans, so they just kept the Islanders name for the fans' sake.
Right.
But
I
am no way an Islanders fan. Never was.
I guess they're
never
still
will be.
They're still in New York, but
yeah.
It's not like they will move to like Oakland or whatever. But
what a great idea!
He said, "What a great idea! That's awesome."
I can tell you right. I will tell you this right now. An Irish fan, I will never. I never have been. I never will be. Never.
Well,
the Islanders are actually really struggling because they were selling tickets to the games for $2. I mean,
oh,
I was ready to get. Yeah, I was ready to get like 20 friends and go to the game.
You can't sell hockey in Brooklyn. I mean, that's just not a hockey hotbed. You know, it's just not.
No.
And if you do, most of the people from Brooklyn are Ranger fans, so.
Thank goodness.
Well,
remember,
so
Devils came later. They didn't come until 1983, and they came from somewhere else.
Right.
Where did they come from?
They came from two areas. In 1974, they were based in Kansas City. In 1976, they went to Colorado, not the Colorado Avalanche that we know now, but they were Colorado Rockies, and then came here in 1982.
Okay.
So they're adopted.
All right.
Well, they weren't much of a team in the other two cities, so
no,
they weren't there that long, you know. It's not when Colorado got the Quebec franchise and had all the draft picks and all the trades. And, You know, and that's a whole different deal, you know.
And yet they won the Cup in 96.
Yeah, I know. And they did that because of the fleecing of the Flyers, but that worked out well for.
And I thought that game four would never end. Game four, going into the third period, tied at Zippo. It's 12:45 a.m. Eastern time. Like, oh boy, this isn't going to be. Am I going to wake up and this game is still going to be on tomorrow? Let's see. I mean, I even woke up at 3 in the morning just to see if it was still going to be on. I went downstairs to get a drink of water, couldn't sleep. I'm like, oh boy, this is ridiculous. I'm like, no, the game ends. So I find out, at 4 minutes into the third overtime, like, oh sure, you wait to score? Thanks a lot.
Yes, score while I'm sleeping, right?
Yes, of course.
Right. Well, that's
not even a record. That's not even a record.
Right.
The record goes back to 1936.
Wow, that's a long time.
And what's that?
Six overtimes in probably one of the most boring games ever known to man.
Right. So anyway, thank you for calling in. We're going to switch our focus here now to college hockey here shortly. But please feel free to call in again next week. We could brush up on our Rangers history, and we'll be fine.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, definitely. And we look forward to talking to
you guys.
Where
are you guys based anyway?
Well, I'm in Maryland. I'm an East Coast girl, and Jimmy is actually in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Canadian accent. I didn't think it was Minnesota. I thought it was Canadian.
Oh, sorry.
You're close enough to Canada.
Yeah, you betcha. Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Lou, and we hope to talk to you in, next week or the week after that. But we thank you for listening.
If you're on next week, if you're on next week, I will do my best.
All right, sounds great. We're on every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So
even though it's the night before Thanksgiving and all through the house.
Yep, even before Thanksgiving.
All right, well, I'll do my best. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye. It was really nice to talk to him. About the Rangers, and here we have a Ranger fan call in. So that's always nice. That's called puck luck.
Yeah, I think it is.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, you have those every once in a while.
I have good ideas once in a while. That's right. So we're going to switch our focus to the we're going to switch to college hockey. I had to get my thoughts together here. It was such a great conversation with Lou there.
Right.
So the standings this week in college hockey had a huge shakeup.
Kimmy, on Tuesday last week, Trump won the election, and he was the hugest upset. I mean, nobody really thought he was going to win, right? So then
right.
If you look at the NCAA football, number two, number three, number four all lost.
Oh,
so
that was a
huge shakeup.
Upset.
That was a huge shakeup with lots of upsets. But, you know, we kind of had our own in college hockey.
So we did, huh? I was going to say,
well,
didn't Minnesota Duluth lose this week?
Yeah, well, on Friday night, Minnesota Duluth lost. They're number one. They lost to Western Michigan, of all teams. And then number two, Denver, tied. But they're playing North Dakota, which is number six, and North Dakota's kind of a victim of a really bad schedule. Number four, Boston, got shut out at home by Michigan. Massachusetts Lowell, who's number five, lost to Maine. Quinnipiac, though, number seven, they beat Dartmouth. But, and then number eight, Minnesota was idle, which is probably a good thing on this day to be idle. So five out of the top eight hockey teams lost or tied on Friday night.
Right.
So that kind of caused a shakeup. I mean, they recovered well. You know, Duluth won on Saturday night and Denver won on Saturday night. And Boston University won on Saturday night, and UMass Lowell won on Saturday night, and well, North Dakota lost, but and Quinnipiac won again. But so it kind of shake the standings up a little bit in college hockey, and it's interesting because, you know, the week before, Minnesota Duluth was the number one ranked team, and they got all 50 first place votes. And they did that the week before. And when they beat North Dakota was the number one ranked team, and they had all 50 first place votes. But right now, Denver's got 26, Duluth's got 18, and Boston College has got 6 of the votes for first place. So now it's starting to shake up like a college hockey season. You know, they're playing.
And then this weekend, don't we have number 7 Minnesota versus number 15 Minnesota State?
Yeah, that's a home and home. I forget which
game
is.
That should be
a good game
for you guys up there.
Well, Mankato's only 45 minutes away, an hour away. So when they play that series, they do home and home. They play one game on it, you know, I think it's at Mariucci on Friday. And then on Sunday or Saturday, they play at Mankato. So that'll be fun. The other really big series is North Dakota. They're getting their butts kicked on their schedule. They're eighth in the country. But they got to go down to St. Cloud and play in the Herb Brooks Arena and play St. Cloud State, which is like number 12. So
right.
I mean, it just doesn't get any easier for North Dakota.
Right. And for those who missed the newest college rankings, they were updated on Monday, I believe. It goes Denver went from second to first. Minnesota Duluth fell from first to second. Boston College stayed at number 3. And then, and I am not a hockey person by any, a college hockey person, because living in Maryland, we don't get the games like Jimmy does in Minnesota. But is that Quinnipiac?
Quinnipiac.
Number 4? Quinnipiac, thank you, is number 4. And they actually moved up from number 7. And then number 5 is Boston University, which fell from 4 to 5.
Well, Boston fell because they lost to Maine, and they shouldn't have lost to Maine. But,
right.
They're a good team. They'll be there at the end. They got UConn coming up this weekend, and you know UConn's not a very good club, so they should hold their own. But some of the games coming up, you know, I mean, Minnesota Duluth has to play Omaha at Omaha.
I'm going to interrupt you here for a minute because we have a caller.
Okay.
I believe is it Farmer? Is this Farmer? Maybe it's Farmer.
What is going on, guys? How we doing?
Good.
Hey,
look, I'm starting to recognize your number. That's pretty scary.
I know, right? What's going on, Jimmy?
Nothing much. It was another tough weekend for NODAC.
Oh, well, when you're in the, you know, the NCHC, every game is going to be a tough one. It's crazy.
You guys really seem to be in the meat grinder because, I mean, even the non-conference game, you scheduled Minnesota in the middle of Duluth and Denver and St. Cloud State. It's like, couldn't you pick the cream puff?
Well, you know, when you're a national championship, you know, when you win the dance, you kind of want to, you know, pick your hard ones first. Because if I remember right in the season, you know, the latter part of the season is kind of easy for North Dakota.
Well, they still got to play the NCHC teams. I mean, you still got to play Omaha. You still got to play Denver. You still got to play St. Cloud State. You still got to play Duluth. You know, I mean, you've got those games coming back. I think you play Bemidji State this year, too, you know, which is not a
Yeah, that was week one.
Okay. You know, that's never a picnic, so...
No, I hate Bemidji State with a passion.
Right.
Any Minnesota team, just, I don't know what it is about, you know, the North Dakota and the Minnesota teams. It doesn't matter which one it is. It's a dogfight.
Well, and it's, you know, because it's the border battle thing, so...
Yeah.
And they'll have them on their different agendas or whatever. But going down to Herb Brooks is going to be tough for you guys this year, this week.
Yeah, you know, I was happy to actually split the games last week against Denver. I don't know what's going on with the team. We just looked sluggish.
You tied and lost.
Well, right, yeah. But it's just it's crazy how the team just a tie's a point, so I'll take it. I don't know what's going on with the team. It doesn't seem like they're playing Fighting Sioux hockey.
Well,
because they're so young.
That's exactly it, Kimmy. I think that, you know, they're such a young team that, you know, I mean, we suffered through this for years and years and years down here in Gopherland, where, you know, you'd compete deep into the playoffs in the national championship games or whatever. And then you'd lose all your team and then you'd have to do it again. So it's process that you're going to have to, you know, deal with. And you guys deal with it pretty well up there too. Where, you know, North Dakota typically is more of a senior-laden team and you don't have those this year. You have, juniors and you have like freshmen and sophomores, which is different than normally what you're looking at.
Yeah. You know, it seems like our underclassmen year in and year out seem to step up and this year, and I'm not one to, you know, to bash my own team, but I think if it wasn't for Cam Johnson, you know, being in net, it could be a lot uglier for the Fighting Sioux this year.
Oh, correct. You know, and it's not a. I mean, if you win a game in October or November, you know, that's fine. But you want to win games in February and March. That's where you're going for, and that's where North Dakota and Wisconsin and Minnesota Duluth and Minnesota, and for whatever reason, St. Cloud State can't do that, but. That's where you want to be in the Midwest version of hockey.
Yeah, I you know, like I said last week, Kim, is North Dakota is it seems like they're a second half team. You know, last year, I think everyone's really holding this team to a really high standard, you know, winning the national championship. And, you know, it's been so long for, you know, North Dakota to actually bring one home. You know, granted, they seem to be always in the Frozen Four and that type of thing. But last year was something special. And so when you get that specialness that, you know, that you Gophers haven't had for a long time, you expect more from your team.
Yeah, well, your fan base and your recruiting base hasn't changed. But when I think the Big Ten coming in and stealing the Gophers in Wisconsin has really hurt both of those clubs. I think, you know, if we all would have stayed in the WCHA, we all would have been fine and everything would have been just happy. And we'd have been knuckling it out like we always did. And, you know, the fact that we're in the Big Ten now with – but Penn State's doing pretty well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wanted to switch gears to Penn State because don't they play – they're, what, currently 9-1-1, and they host Arizona this weekend at Pocala Ice Arena. Now, I think they should probably win both of those games. And if they do, do you think they will take a jump in the standings?
Well, they're at 10 right now. But they're number 3 in the pairwise because of, you know, but their strength of schedule is 14. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. But Penn State might be for real. I mean, they... You know, they put a lot of emphasis and a lot of money into their sports teams. And Pocala, their arena is pretty impressive. They they can recruit to that, and they have been. And so, you know, I don't count them as a pretender. I kind of count them as a contender. And, you know, they haven't really beat anybody yet. I mean, they played Alaska, and they played Alabama, and they played now they're playing Arizona, which are not exactly hockey powerhouses. But they're winning the games they're supposed to win.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy, you agree. You know, they're playing Arizona State. It's like playing a junior college, and that's really no knock on the Sun Devils. But if a recruit is looking at going to, we'll just say, you know, Penn State or Alaska versus, versus Arizona State, think that the nod would go towards Alaska versus Arizona State. So I foresee them not really doing any. And this is horrible for me to say, but I think they're always going to be a subpar team down there in Arizona State.
Well, I think they are, but I think there's going to be a point where if they keep plugging away at it, I mean, Arizona State's a Pac-12 conference team, you know, so there's a point where kids are going to go, do I want to play in Michigan or Boston or North Dakota where it's cold all the time? Or can I play my hockey down where it's warm in Arizona State?
Well, if I was those kids, I'd be like, do I want to win a national championship or do I want a sunburn?
Right.
Well,
or do I want to get noticed to be drafted is a big thing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you're the best player on the bad team, but you're playing in the Pac-12, you know, conference, you know, you kind of get noticed more than you do if you're the third line winger on North Dakota.
Very true. You know, because I was told, and I do follow Arizona State just because a buddy of mine graduated from there playing football. They tried to petition into the NCHC, but they said we were full. Then they were like, well, let's see what the WCHA, you know, so I believe here in 2 years, Arizona State will be going into the new, WCHA, which, you know, it's good for them, I think, but I definitely think that they're way out of their league.
Well, you know, and they said that about the Alaska teams too, and, you know, and every once in a while Fairbanks has a good team or you know, or, but it's tough, you know, it's hard to break into, well, just like in all the college sports, you know, it's tough to recruit and tough to get players to come in. I just think that Arizona State being independent right now is probably not their best bet, but I think they also have the opportunity to recruit some of the not necessarily first-tier players that, you know, you guys get in North Dakota or we get at Minnesota or they get, you know, Minnesota Duluth or Boston College, Boston University. But I do think that they're going to get the second-tier players, the players that have potential to be better than they were in high school.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, and you know, we can always say the same thing about, you know, the Alabama, what is that, Huntsville, Alabama.
Right.
You know, they're another Southern team that, you know, you can't sleep on them either. So, you know, hockey is definitely starting to you know, move south, but I still think that your powerhouse teams are definitely, you know, in the north.
Oh, that's always going to be that way. It's always going to be North Dakota. It's always going to be, you know, Minnesota. It's always going to be Wisconsin. Wisconsin's on a down year, but I wouldn't sleep on them because they got a bunch of freshmen and sophomores just like you guys do. So, but I don't know. I kind of think that kids are going to, you know, start to think, you know, maybe I should go where it's warmer. So
right.
I don't have to be frozen my entire life.
So when I was on hold listening to you guys, I heard you talking about Bemidji State. They are actually 9-0-1. That tie is to, well, it seems like North Dakota can't seem to break ties. But they're 9-0-1 in the, what are they in? They're in the WCHA. Do you think that they're going to be in the hunt towards, you know, the latter half, January and February, or do we think that Bemidji State is a first half team?
Well, I don't think they're a first half team. They're more senior laden than most of the teams, and they kind of tend to be that way. They recruit with their classes to be consistent. You know, they have basically the same amount of kids in every class, and they don't get a whole lot of jumpers like North Dakota and the Gophers and Michigan do. They or Boston College or Boston University or whatever, can't leave them out. Can't, you know, not Midwest biased. But they're always competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, there's only two teams in the league that are actually undefeated.
Right.
You got Bemidji State, and you also have Boston College. Those are your only two teams that haven't lost the entire season.
Right. And I'm not sure why Boston College isn't like the number one team, but they did get 6 first place votes this year, but this week, but. I'm kind of surprised that they're not ranked higher than they are because they're playing some pretty good hockey, but they really haven't played anybody. I guess there's that.
Right.
So, I mean, if you look at the pairwise, you know, UMD's got the number one worst or best or whatever, how you want to say it, schedule as far as the people that they played. And I think Denver's 2, and I think North Dakota's like 4, and I think St. Cloud State's like 6, and that's your conference, dude.
Well, yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, the fun thing about college hockey is any team, and I say this about football and everything else like that, but on any given Friday night and Saturday night, any team can win.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of games this weekend, I, you know, for the people that follow us for the college hockey segments and everything, the Notre Dame game versus Northeastern this weekend, it was suspended due to the ice conditions and Zamboni malfunctions. That will not be made up. They're ruling that game as a tie. So I didn't know if you guys knew that too.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, you know, that'll probably come back. They'll probably replay that. Right now it's at a tie, but normally they'll come around and they'll figure out when to reschedule that game. It just won't be anytime soon.
Right. Because that was the most recent news this weekend, or that came out actually earlier today.
I'm not a fan of these ties, guys. And, you know, someone's saying, well, yeah, no wonder he's not a fan of the ties because his team seems to, you know, they can't win or they can't lose. But something needs to be done about ties in college hockey or pro or wherever. Somebody needs to win and somebody needs to lose. And I feel that way in every sport. There needs to be a winner. There needs to be a loser. No ties. Let's play until somebody wins.
You
well,
know, we had that discussion last week with Tay. I was going to say, we actually had that discussion with Tay last week about the pro hockey side of it with the ties. You know, they want to increase scoring. They want to increase these teams' records and everything like that. So you take that tie away, then you really are going to have to change the overtime rules for the regular season hockey and make that where you play the 5-on-5 until somebody does win, like in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Because you don't have ties in hockey playoffs.
Right. Well, in the college game, it's different because you play a lot of different teams. It's like when the Gophers in North Dakota, the Sioux, I can still say that, played. They went, you know, Friday night they went 5-5 for a tie, and it would have been nice to be able to move forward and play and to win. But the way it's set up is that, you know, non-conference is played with ties.
Right.
But in the conference game, which you saw in Denver, when Denver came in, they play a whole different game where it's, you know, it's 5-on-5 for 5 minutes, and then it's 3-on-3 for 5 minutes, and then it's a shootout.
Right.
But they're not playing. But you know, if you don't win in that 5-on-5 in the first part of it, it's a tie. But then after that, you're playing for the extra point for the conference.
Well, yeah, no, I agree with you. I got a train coming, so that's why I muted. But it's just it's crazy. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of ties. You know, if I'm going to a sporting event, I want somebody to frickin' win or frickin' lose. I'm going to mute. Actually, I'm going to leave because I got a train coming. Kim, awesome show. Jimmy, it's always a pleasure talking college hockey with you. And we'll catch you guys next week.
All right, sir. Thanks, Farmer.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye. So I know, you know, staying in the college hockey area here, the Women's Hockey League should be starting up again here soon, right?
Well, yeah. Well, the Women's College Hockey, yeah.
They just had that big tournament.
Well, they did. And the women actually, the U.S. women actually beat the they play a tournament called the Team of Four or the Cup of Four or whatever it is. It's U.S., Canada, Sweden, Finland, and they play and they rotate it from year to year as to where it's played. And the U.S. won again this year, and that's the second time back-to-back, and they won 3 out of the last 4. And,
oh, wow.
And so basically they shut down college hockey, and the NWHL, for that, just so that they can get the best players there. And It's fun. I mean, it's really good. But, you know, I mean, they're back to playing again. I think the biggest game of the weekend for the women was Colgate.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I mean, I remember you last week, right at the end of the show, you gave a shout-out to the U.S. women's team. So I wanted to just kind of bring that back up, you know, just so you could let everybody know that may have missed that last week.
Well, and it's you know, it's nice to win a gold medal, depending upon, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at or what team, you know, what team you're playing, you know, whether you're, you know, men's or women's or what have you. So, but yeah, Colgate won. There are some pretty good teams that are playing right now in women's college hockey. There are three out of the top five teams are undefeated. And like I said, I wouldn't sleep on Colgate. I think they're probably a pretty good team, and they're not toothpaste. They're an actual college, and they're an actual college hockey team, you know. And, you know, obviously Wisconsin's, you know, good, and Minnesota's good, and so Duluth is good, and so is St. Lawrence. But, you know, Colgate is one of those teams that doesn't get enough credit, and they
right.
played pretty well this last weekend. So,
good. And can you believe we only have, like, 3 minutes left in this show? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
These shows go so fast.
I know.
But, yeah, I want to, you know, thank Farmer and Lou for calling in tonight and discussing some very good topics. The Rangers and college hockey is always fun to hear about because it's always, you know, you never know how that's going to go, so the rankings change. But next week, yes, it is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and we will still be on air. So, you know, you can give us a call next week. You can follow us on our Twitter page at Stay Out of Crease, and also on our Facebook page, Stay Out of My Crease. I do know next week we do have a special guest coming in. Sean has his own sports radio show, and he will be calling in to talk some hockey with us. He's a big hockey fan, so that will be very interesting. And of course, we'll, you know, keep those questions coming. Any questions that you do have, we'll be happy to answer on air. And, you know, feel free to call and join the discussion too. Our phone number is 646-668-8467, and you can also find that on our little flyer that I pass around on Facebook and everything. So, you know, we have a few minutes here, and I have to tell you, you know, I'm bringing this back to my terrible game tonight, Jimmy. But Sullivan actually had, you know, his little press conference after the game, and he said that the game humbled the Penguins, that they went in there very cocky. And so that was one of the things that they're going to have to work on. And I'm glad to hear him step up and, you know, say that, because they were. They were embarrassed. The final score was actually 7-1. We didn't get shut out, but we got blown out. So, and that changed the rankings for the Metropolitan. We fell to third. Capitals went up to second. They have, I think, because of this game, they have a +8 differential now. So,
well, you know, Kimmy, it's like I said, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and it's
right. It's,
you know,
really,
and
early. I mean, I'm not upset. It happens. It happens to everybody.
Until the calendar flips, you don't even really need to worry about it. You know, you're just trying to, you're posturing, you're positioning. You know, you just,
right.
just hope that you don't get too far behind that,
right.
you know, you can't catch up, you know. I mean, you guys made a, what did you do, like 22 out of 23 games or
we
something?
We went 22-1 in order to make the playoffs last year. So,
yeah.
I just thought it was a very interesting, you know, I got the tweet and the text, and it said that they were very humbled, and I think they need it to be. You know, you need to be brought back down off that pedestal after winning a cup like that.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if they decide on a goalie, too, who's going to be the first one. But great show again, Jimmy, and I do thank you for co-hosting this with me, and I will talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, girl.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.